We're talking today with Dr. Art Douglas, retired now from Creighton University, but still active in the weather circles and most certainly involved with our annual Cattle Facts Market Outlook Seminar. Dr. Douglas, you indicated right off the bat this week in that seminar, good news in that we do have an El Nino on the way, which is generally good for U.S. agriculture.
That's correct. We're going to have probably at least a moderate, if not strong, El Nino developing starting early this spring into the summer, and then it'll probably peak in the winter. Based on that, we probably got to go back to about 2009, 2010, the last moderately strong El Nino. And if we look at the precipitation, most of the United States had above normal precipitation with that El Nino. All that warm water along the equator, along the west coast of the United States, fuels a lot of storms, especially as we get into the fall and winter. So it's a real plus for the United States.
When we think about that type of event, I know that one of the fairly short-term maps that you put up for this spring showed pretty good amounts of precipitation and slightly above what temperatures as well across a good part of the country.
With an early developing El Nino, it's pretty common the Bermuda High is stronger than normal and starts pushing into the United States early in the spring. And this is what then is going to allow the moisture to flow north through Texas into the central and northern plains. So it's a real positive type flow pattern.
I know for the southern plains, Oklahoma, Texas, that was included in areas that we would see some moisture coming in.
That's correct, especially in the eastern half of Texas and a good portion of Oklahoma, definitely above normal precipitation and also above normal temperatures, because with that southerly flow out of the Gulf, you're going to bring warm air north, complete reversal of what we've been seeing so far in December and January.
When we think about where we are going as far as this summer, if indeed that El Nino starts to develop, this is going to be a better growing season, you think, for most of our summer, our spring planted crops?
It's pretty classic that an El Nino, as it develops during the summer, will start a little warmer than normal, a continuation of that spring circulation.
So after all this extraordinary cold weather that much of the country has been enveloped in, things are going to turn around here sometime in the next 30 to 45 days in?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing the building Bermuda High now high pressure all the way into northern Mexico. So we're seeing a warm-up gradually starting in the south with above-normal temperatures spreading north. What's interesting, though, with El Nino, after you get through the spring and into the early summer, all that warm water along the equator and the west coast really fuels good storms, so the jet stream starts becoming more active as we get into July and August, and that brings more cold fronts down through the Midwest, which is ideal for precipitation, and it also results in normal to below normal temperatures across the Midwest in the last half of the summer.
This past year, 2013, was a very unusual year for hurricanes. Almost non-existent, it seemed like, in a lot of ways. Are we going to get back to a little bit of a more norm in 2014, 2015, you think?
Part of the reason last summer wasn't very active in terms of the hurricane season is this El Nino tried to start last spring, and it just didn't quite do it. The Atlantic, though, has also been cooling over about the last 12 months, and in fact, it's at some of the coolest levels that we've seen ever since it went into a warm phase in 1994. That's when all the hurricane activity really started perking up in 95, 96, 99. So I think the cooling in the Atlantic that we're seeing is probably part of the reason we had a low number. Now, if we go into the hurricane season this year, El Ninos with stronger subtropical jets, it's that subtropical jet that shears hurricanes apart and really then diminishes hurricane numbers in the Atlantic. So this year should be a very low activity year for the Atlantic.
One final question in regards to some of your comments there toward the end of your presentation. You brought up the issue with both Arctic ice, Antarctic ice. And you said that there's some suggestions, you know, once again, that maybe the climate warming crowd, maybe they don't have too much evidence to stand on.
Well, the point of that one was there's been a lot of discussion about the loss of sea ice in the Arctic. So I showed a graph based on satellite data in which we have radars on satellites that determine the amount of sea ice in the Arctic since 1979. The graphics show that we had a pretty stable Arctic Ocean through about 1994. Then when the Atlantic went into this warm phase, sped up Gulf Stream, then we see the sea ice decreasing through the late 90s, early 2000s. But lo and behold, if you look at the data for about the last 5 to 6 years, it's kind of stabilized. It has not continued to go down. And this idea of all the sea ice being lost within 20 or 30 years, it's really hard to understand based on the fact that we've gone into a new normal. We go down in the southern hemisphere and look at the graph for the amount of sea ice around Antarctic. Lo and behold, it has steadily increased. So currently, about the last couple of years, we're in the upper 5% of the most extensive amount of ice in the southern hemisphere. They're opposed to each other, in other words. We got the Arctic, which has lost ice. We got the Antarctic, which has gained ice. Well, if you use CO2 as the main culprit in global warming, and I mean the northern hemisphere most certainly is warmed, and we've seen the loss of the sea ice, that CO2 is also in the southern hemisphere, and it's just not working down there. So I prefer to consider these things natural variability, which CO2 may be slightly impacting, or maybe half of the change in the sea ice in the Arctic is due to CO2. But the Antarctic, it doesn't appear there's been any influence of CO2 in trying to melt the ice down there.